We'll see if I can get the technology to somewhat cooperate with me this morning. It's always interesting getting up here and preaching. 5 days a week, I stand in front of 12, 11 through 14, 15-year-olds. This past week was drug-free week, and most days I stood in front of them wearing some type of ridiculous outfit for Wacky Tacky and various other things, yet it's a lot different speaking in front of a wide range of ages and experience, and in especially with many of you having much more wisdom than I do. As normal, although it's getting more difficult, I try to start off with some type of humor. Notice, well, as it goes away, as it searches for its source, notice when it pops up that I did not say top 10 funny quotes. I just said 10 funny quotes because I don't know that they're top 10, and as I run out of ideas, funny quotes may be something that I go back to. But I'll try not to water it down any this morning. You can ask Eric about that one after church if you would like to. All right, number 10. I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming and yelling like the other passengers in his car. Number 9. Nostalgia isn't what it used to be. Number 8. A woman's mind is cleaner than a man's because she changes it so often. I don't know if I would laugh that hard, Jared. By the way, that was Sarah's, not mine. So any complaints can go directly to her for that one. Number 7. Always borrow money from a pessimist. They'll never expect it back. Number 6, never argue with an idiot. He'll drag you down to his level, then beat you with experience. All right. Well, going all over the place. Number 5, I read recipes the same way I read science fiction. I get to the end and say, well, that's not going to happen. Number 4, this morning I took 2 X-lax with my Prozac. I can't get off the toilet, but I feel good about it. Number 3, light travels faster than sound. This is why some people appear to be bright until you hear them speak. Number 2, I like work. It fascinates me. I sit and look at it for hours. And number 1 this morning, why does SeaWorld have a seafood restaurant? I get halfway through my fish sandwich when I realize I could be eating a slow learner. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. This morning, I want to talk fairly briefly about the blood of Christ. It was a really, really long and strange and winding road that led me to this topic. A few weeks ago was fall break, and Sarah and I, with my family, we spent a week in Gulf Shores. Now, one thing that I need to kind of give you a little bit of background on. A few weeks ago, Sarah and I were, or probably a few months ago, Sarah and I were having a conversation about my wedding band, and how it was kind of boring. It was classic, and I picked it out because of that, but it didn't have a whole lot of different things like that. But she was like, the one thing that I'm really excited about is the fact that 50 years from now, we'll both be wearing the rings that we were married in. Well, now, there was a problem. In the past, 4 years or so, I've lost 40 pounds. It's kind of been a slow, steady progress. One thing I did not do was go have my ring resized. I hate to be without my wedding band. It's just something that I never take off. I never do. When it's off, if I ever have to take it off, I don't feel like I'm complete. I'm always reaching for it. And I know it's just a symbol. It's not that I think that as soon as it's gone, that, oh no, the world is coming to an end. It's just something that has always meant something that was very special to me. So a couple of things happened while we were in Gulf Shores. First of all, my finger size is a little bit smaller. Apparently, I can't lose weight in certain areas, but man, I must have had some fat fingers because I dropped the weight in the fingers. And you couple that with sunscreen, combine that with ocean water and throwing football, and I went to catch a pass, and bloop, the ring dropped off. And it dropped off right where the waves are breaking. Now, my ring was a very boring or traditional style, but it was very heavy. It was gone. And one cool thing about it is I will say probably 15 people were in the water trying to help me find it. Now, about half of those were four and under. Well, no, probably like 4 to 7 years old. And one little girl, she was so sweet. She was probably 3 or 4. She was like, "Why did you let it fall off? Do you think you will ever see it again? Does it make you sad that it's gone?" And, you know, and she was really being helpful. It was really sweet. But, of course, we never found it. And I didn't go into a deep, dark depression over it or anything like that, but I really wasn't the happiest person at that point in time. And we ran out to Walmart, and of course they didn't have anything that fit me except one that was really different, and I couldn't go with it, so we bought a ring that was, I found out, 2.5 sizes too big, which was what my old one was. And we bought one of those little spacers that girls put on when they're wearing their boy's class ring, just so I could make it through the week and till I could get a new one. But it got me thinking about symbols. The ring was something that when we gave our vows, it was something that we could put on to remember those vows and to show the world that we had made those vows. And that had me to start thinking about our symbols as Christians. And it had me thinking about the Bible through time and how wonderful that the symbol of my salvation, the blood of Christ, is not something that can be lost. Now, it's something that we can throw away, but it's not something that's physical or tangible that we could lose. It's something that's with us at all times. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the blood of Christ. And kind of merge it in with a couple of different lessons, and hopefully we can pull something about it. First of all, the blood of Christ, it washes away sin. That's a big deal, because sin makes a person defiled. That moment of sin brings a point of separation from us to God. Titus 1:15 and 16 tells us, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works." And this is big. "They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." It's what sin does to our lives. That's what sin does with our relationship with God, and it's what sin does for how God views us. So it's a big deal that Christ's blood washes away our sin, because sin is what separates us from Him. It's what defiles us. So in that, Christ's blood, it cleanses us. We see this in 1 John. Well, we see it in many places, but the verse that I want us to read this morning are 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ, it cleanses us not just from some sin, but from all sin. And of course, as Sean kind of glanced over and saw my notes this morning, this leads me back to one of my first sermons ever. And that's the idea of sanctification. Christ's blood sets us apart. But the idea of sanctification is something that goes all the way back to the old law. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 18 through 22. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So it was done under the old law, and there are many different reasons why it was probably done, but I think one of the big reasons was to prepare us for Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, we are sanctified or set apart because of the blood of Jesus. In order to be set apart in the way that we are and to have salvation in the way that we do, we needed something better than the old law. We needed something better than the sacrifices that they used. We needed the perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice came with the blood of Christ. On a little later in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through His own blood." We were sanctified through the blood of Jesus, and it was a willing sacrifice on His part. And it was so that His blood could remit our sins. Go to Matthew chapter 26. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Something that This time around the table that he instituted with his disciples here is something that we still do today. But I think sometimes we forget what these emblems represent. And we forget exactly how blessed that we are that we have the blood of Christ. I want to read you a quick story here. This is a true story that I found, and I liked it, so I thought I would share it with you. When evangelist John Wesley was returning home from a service one night, he was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber paused. "My friend," said Wesley, "you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The thief hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer in Christ as a successful businessman, was the one who robbed him years before. "I owe it all to you," said the transformed man. "Oh no, my friend," Wesley exclaimed, "not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." So the question is this morning, have you been cleansed? Have you been cleansed? It's a decision that we make. It's a decision that we make after thoughtfully looking into our own lives. Sometimes that means acknowledging the very deepest and darkest secrets that not even we ourselves are fully aware of. It's also acknowledging something that's very difficult in our world today, and that's, I'm not enough. I can't do this by myself. It means recognizing the fact that in that state that we are separated from God. It's recognizing that without the blood of Christ, we are lost. And it's recognizing when we accept that gift, when we're buried with Him in baptism and that blood of Christ cleanses our sins, that we come out not who we were before, but as a new creation. A creation of one who has been redeemed. And our lives shouldn't just be lived in a way that we want to follow God's word because that's what we're told to do. It's because of joy of what He has done for us. It's out of appreciation for all that He's done, but most of all for His sacrifice, that you and I can say that we're no longer lost, but we're found. We're no longer separated from sin, from God by sin, but we're united with Him. We can realize that this world is not it. It's not our home. We have something much more precious and something much more awesome to look forward to. This morning, if you haven't been cleansed with the blood of Christ, if you haven't made that decision to follow Him, to gain a deep and personal and redeemed relationship with Him, I encourage you to make that decision. If you've fallen away and you need prayers, we're here for you as well. If you're hurting, one of the blessings of being redeemed is we've been redeemed by God into a brand new family, and a family that cares very deeply. If you have need in any of anything this morning, please come as Dominique leads us in a song. Do you have a number?
Hopefully everybody knows it. Let's sing along, please. If you could stand with me. So, create in me a clean...